Blog Talk Radio.
February 15th, 2022. And this is Foxology. It's still negativity. No, no, no Tuesday. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Welcome to today's show. I'm so happy that you took time out of your day to plug in and to listen. And you know what? I bet I know why you did. It's because you know whatever goes on here, we keep it real. It's going to enlighten you in some shape, form, or fashion, because that's how I do. I do shows that are meant to impact, meant to bring learning, meant to heighten your way of thinking and doing things, meant to educate you and empower you. Yeah, I love you like that. It's meant to help you level up in areas of your heart, your mind, your spirit. Meant to bring you helpful health and wellness info, meant to inspire and motivate you, and most of all, to be your best being. Sounds great, doesn't it? I'm all over those things, and I do it just for you. And today, I'll be putting more icing on this Foxology cake. My guest today is an authority on spiritual growth and development. She is helping people see many of the exciting and uplifting aspects of our spiritual selves, coaching and advising us on wonderful and rewarding transformations that create powerful productivity for living. Oh, goodness, gnarly. Wait to get into this conversation. She is author, speaker, consultant, spiritualizer, Ingra Green Johnson, my special guest today. I'm so excited. Welcome, Ingra.
Well, it is indeed my pleasure to be here today. And let me just tell you, I am already feeling this energy, and I am so loving the vibe.
Well, I know you bring it. So if you felt it from me, I know people better, look, hold on to their seats, right?
Right.
Well, listen, there's so much to talk about, and I did carve out a lot of time. I don't know how much time you really do have, but here's what I'll say. If we get to a point where it feels like it's getting lengthy, long, or whatever to you, or you can tell me right now you only have so much time today, I always carve out more time. I learned the hard way that when I scheduled my shows for 30 or 60 minutes, we'd still have, you know, things to chat about or questions to answer, and I'd have to wrap because once I have that time set in the program, it automatically will shut off regardless of what's being said. So there's plenty of time for us to discuss many things, but I'm going to leave it up to you. Just tell me when you get to that point, you say, I got to wrap, and I'll say, okay, then me too.
Okay. I'm good. I will go ahead and start off telling you I am good. I don't have anything for the afternoon, and I'm a firm believer that things have a way of wrapping up organically. Yeah, we'll feel it. We'll feel when it's time.
Okay.
I believe.
Yeah, well, good deal. Listen, there's so much going on in your life and world with your work, and I love what you do, and I love how it's expressed in your website, because I think there's such a great need more than ever now for spiritual understanding and spiritual growth and development, because I think of this whole pandemic, whatever it is, really threw people for a loop. I mean, and if you didn't have some kind of spiritual awareness of grounding or something, even those folks, I mean,
yes,
just kind of got pulled apart at the seams. I mean, it's been interesting. It's probably the safest word I'm going to say about what has happened. But people need it in their lot of questions that I know that you were able to answer, but I want to start just by asking you about your mission. Tell us about the mission. I know everybody hasn't gone to your website yet, but tell us the mission and your why.
Yes. So I will start off by saying I am Ingra, and my purpose here on Earth is to create receptive insight. That's my overarching purpose. I've spent some time, especially recently in the past 4 years, really digging into what I call the original design, which is who did God make me to be? And so mm-hmm. I believe that we should all be on the journey of discovering who it is that we are. And so what my company does, Slingshot U is the name of the company, and it's a spiritual personal development company, but also just personal development as a whole. I just tend to focus on the spirituality because that's where God has me right now, and it's just kind of my mission to help bring awareness to the spiritual part of us. There is so much that we kind of leave on the table, if you will, in who we are and what we have to offer this world, and not only that, but what we have to offer ourselves. And it's done because we don't really tap into who we are spiritually. So because I went on this journey and it was made clear to me that I was to help others emerge, so to speak, into that, that is what Slingshot U does. And what ends up happening, Silver, inevitably is as we dig into who we are, you will begin to see external manifestations. So a lot mm-hmm. of what we deal with begins with us. And so that's what right. Slingshot U does. It helps people to be more introspective, but not just for the purpose of just digging around inside. There's intentionality with it, and that is to really bring out our best self by way of our original design.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
How did this all get started for you?
Oh, wow. So it's a funny story.
I know that might be, that's a broad question, I know. But just give us an idea. Sometimes there's a pivotal point in our life journey that all of a sudden we understand that this is the direction, like you just spoke of, that we were designed to go in.
Mm-hmm. Yes. There was a pivotal. There was like a preview to it, and then there was that defining moment. And I'm so glad that you're asking me this, because I'll just preface it, and then I'm going to answer your question. But this is just really good for people to even begin paying attention to the things that are happening in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
So it started for me back, it was about 2013, 2014. That was the preview when I began to, because I will say this up front, I am very much a believer in Jesus Christ. So that's the where I dig, you know, for the depth of me mm-hmm. and just meaning and purpose. So in my prayer time and having the conversations with God, he began to just download to me some very deep things that were clearly not of this world. And I will tell you very clearly, Silver, it was so overwhelming to me that I asked him to stop, because I mentally I just couldn't handle it. But the
couldn't
funny thing
it.
Is, I know, get it, right? Right? I'm asking God to stop something. But he did. It's like he just put a hold on it. Forward in 2017, my husband
passed away.
You're
kind of fading away a little bit. Okay.
Oh, okay.
You
okay.
sounded like you went
that.
Into the distance a little bit there.
Oh, okay. All right. Then in 2017, September 4th of 2017, my husband passed away.
That's much better.
And mm-hmm. yeah, and so, okay, got it. And so when that happened, it was like from the time when I had asked God to, can you please put a pause on this? At that moment, while I'm going through grief, no less, it's like all of those downloads started to flood again. And this was all very spiritual information that God was just sharing with me and showing me. That was the pivotal mm-hmm. moment. And I can only think it is because although I was dealing with grief, which typically causes people to kind of shut down. In this very interesting way, I opened in a way that I never had before, just mentally and emotionally. I just opened up. And so it was like everything that got it started came rushing back at me. That was the pivotal moment for me. And then that's okay. when kind of the journey really began. The roller coaster ride began right then.
Mm-hmm. And so was there a special kind of clarity that this was, I'm asking this because there's a special focus that I read into what you're doing. And you elaborated on it a little bit when we had a prior conversation that just put yourself in a zone where we both talked about how spiritually and religiously things can be very different. And can you just give us a statement or two on that, and then I'm going to go into the material questions about your material. I'd like for you to say a little bit about that, because I think it's important that individuals understand that perspective, because I think it's a very vital, very important one.
Yes. So for me, what this is actually one of the things that began to illuminate for me during this time of emergence. So I was a licensed and ordained minister. I was an executive pastor at a church. I was leading the leaders, just very active in the church. And that's how I had always known to be from the time I was very young. I started off teaching Sunday school when I was 12. So very deep in the church. But during this time, what began to happen during this spiritual awakening or my emergence, I call it my emergence because I was emerging out of the religious status quo, and that's what I called it. Because one of the things that God was sharing with me was people are sitting, and I see things, and so I see it very clearly. People were sitting in jail cells, and I'm talking religious people, sitting in jail cells, and the doors were wide open. So they were imprisoned in places where they should have been made free because of the traditions I'll just keep it that way. Because of the traditions, people are not given the freedom to explore who they are spiritually. So what I find is there are many who are religious, but they are not spiritual. They don't realize that there is a whole part of us. Like, we are three-part beings. We are body, soul, and spirit. But for many who are active in the church arena, their actual spiritual self is not tapped into the way God created us to be, or the way he created us to live in this world. And so that was what really rocked my foundation as well, because what happened was, Silver, God was basically giving me permission, and I'll just add this. I don't know how deep you want to go on this, but he literally pulled me out of the church building, out, so that he could take me deeper in him. Through
I
my
understand
spirituality.
That.
Yeah, there's a connection that we have to God that does not have to run through church. It is directly to him. And what should be happening, again, you can pull my reins because I can get out there pretty far, but what should be happening is church should be teaching us to connect directly to God through Jesus Christ in a free way. In a liberating rather way, rather than telling me this is how you do it, that is how you do it, this is acceptable, that is not acceptable, we need to be the gatekeepers of your faith. And no, That's not how it should work. That's what the Pharisees did. They stuck to the traditions of men. But what did Jesus do? He came and he was like, look, I'm sick of you people. He even called them a brood of vipers.
Yeah.
You know, because the people, we are supposed to be free. Jesus came, you know, the scripture says that you know, the enemy steals and kills and destroys. But Jesus said he came for us to have life and to have it more abundantly, not to just mm-hmm. sit here and follow this set of rules from Sunday to Sunday. There's so much more life in us and for us than just in those four walls known as the church.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to worry about getting too deep talking to me. There might be a whole host of people that won't agree with you about that church thing you said. But
I know
do understand. I do understand. I have seen that particular thing be an issue and a problem for a very, very long time. And I love worship, so I can't discount that. But I think mm-hmm. unless you do have a correct teaching, building of biblical principle and understanding the true living it out, fleshing it out,
yes.
you're going to be in trouble because it is so easy. It's very easy for people to do things that look like you're following the way it goes. It's easy to do
mm-hmm.
something rather than understand by learning and living and growing, because all of that, as you well know, can be a very stretching and painful experience when you're
oh, yeah.
growing. You know, it really can be, but it's well worth the journey of getting there.
Yes.
But I can recall very much a pastor telling me, a woman that I met a few years back, telling me that she had a person that she was trying to share the salvation message with, and the woman literally told her, I don't want to do that because what I see you all going through is too painful and I don't want to do that.
Mm.
And so it's a very interesting thing, but here's where our dash goes. What you do and what I do with this show and other things that I do, I think creates a different kind of embracing and understanding
yes.
that can help you bypass a lot of those painful experiences. If you decide you want to get it, if you decide that you want to get the wisdom and the understanding and the practicality and the practices that go along with what you do, Ingra.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You can bypass it. It doesn't always have to sting and cut. Because a lot of things that happen to us in life are self-inflicted. We can avoid a lot of things. And so I'm going to go ahead and go into some of the things that I saw that you do, and maybe that will help clarify what you just said and what I was attempting to explain on top of it as well, because you've got some really great, really, really great opportunities there, I believe, for people. One of the things, I know we were going to talk about particularly saying no to negativity. Let me ask mm-hmm. you about that before I go into that. I'd ask you to share a few things in that particular area that I really do think there is a lot of bondage. We grow up in
yes.
it. We live in it. We're surrounded by it at work. You know, the experience of you know, society and politics and all of that, you know, a lot of folks would say, well, you can't help it but be negative. What say you about current situations and that mode of thinking and approaching life?
Well, I think, yes, it is a fact that negativity exists, but it's up to us what kind of power we give it. So I'll start, too, by saying sometimes things that we think are negative things, or we think it's negativity, is not. I'll just, let me start there, and then I'll move from there. Because sometimes if anything challenges us, we will call it negativity sometimes. And so the first thing is to think about, what really is this? Is this just something that I don't like because it's making me feel uncomfortable? Or is this legit toxicity? You know, there's that facet of it as well. Because some things will be presented to us and it may seem negative. Like even you mentioned some of the hard things that we may have to go through, the scrapes and bruises and cuts. Sometimes those things are perceived as negative experiences, but they are really there for our sharpening and our building and our development, okay? So that's the first thing. Just make sure that it's not something that should be challenging you, but you're resisting it because it's uncomfortable, okay? Now, our legitimate negativity, right? There are negative people, and there are negative thoughts. So there's internal negativity, and then there's also external negativity. And what I'll say is, one of the things that I deal with, because I'm about personal spiritual development and growth, I deal a lot with what's inside of us. Because what I found is, it was what resided in me, and when I addressed those things, that the external things began to change. And so addressing what's in us, there's this saying that I heard, your vibe attracts your tribe. So even with people, those who are dealing with negative people, if you keep attracting, if you keep finding yourself in negative relationships, in negative exchanges, negative scenarios, you really need to look at, what is it that I'm putting out there? What is it in me that is making me a magnet for these things? Again, my company, Slingshot You, and just my purpose in life, period, is to help us to look at what's inside of us and to get back on track with our original design, so that we then begin to pull toward us and navigate even ourselves toward those things that are more positive. So I'll start there. Does that answer your question? I want to make sure.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. You want me to keep going? Because I'll keep going.
I do. Yes.
Okay. All right. So when it comes, so I'll talk about, because I talked about, there's the internal negativity and then there's the external negativity. Here's what I'll say about the external negativity. This is a quote that I saw some years ago. And it just says simply this: you don't have to attend every argument you're invited to. So
yes,
you don't have to give your energy to every negative thing that comes up to you. You just don't. You don't have to give your permission to that. Now, I know people have very complicated situations, and you may think, oh, well, Ingrid, that's really simple, you know, for you to say, you don't live my life and you don't know who I have to be around and who I have to endure for life. I have to live in a home with a negative person, or I have to work with negative people. I do understand that. But at the same time, you have control over what you let filter in. So you don't have to give your attention to that. You can make the decision, and I'll get into this a little bit later, how you do it. I've got three steps that I use to put negativity, not just put it in its place, but really to demolish it. And I think, Silver, I think you put that word on your website, the promo for this talk about demolishing negativity. That is exactly what we are able to do. And that's regardless of what your external negative vibes or negative scenarios are. And here's the other thing regarding the external negativity. Boundaries are our friend. This goes right along with, you don't have to give your permission. You don't have to attend every negative scenario that you're invited to. But you have to make the decision, what are you willing to put up with? So when we put up healthy boundaries, and I'll give you this kind of heads up, people will begin to get mad at you when you put up your boundaries. And that's okay. That's their issue. Your boundaries are there to keep you, not just to keep, you know, I heard someone say this, not just to keep the negativity out. Yes, it does that. But the boundaries that we set up in our relationships and in our lives are also to help keep us in place. And this is where we put up a boundary, and this gives us the space to do our internal work. And so when this is happening, we just have to understand people will have a response. People will always have a say in what we're doing, it kind of seems like, anyway, right? So if they're going to have something to talk mm-hmm. about, I'm going to let them talk about how she's – and this is also a form of self-care – let them talk about how she's doing self-care and she's doing inner work, which leads me to another point. You have to be willing to put in some work with this. It's not something that's just going to happen overnight. I'm still in the process. Even though I can speak about how I deal with negativity, this is an ongoing exercise that I'm involved in on a regular basis. So I'm still getting to this, have not mastered it, you know. So
I want to say something before you go on that I want you to make sure you reflect on. You just said something about it, but I really want people to understand this boundary thing. Because you said people are going to get mad at you. They're going to get real mad. They're going to get real upset with you. They're going to get feisty, hot mad at you because – you make some decisions to do self-care. And I just want to say that it's an isolating event when you decide that. It really is. You have so many decisions to make when you decide that you have to not allow certain people to impact you because they're impacting you in a negative way. You have to realize to stay on task and on purpose, on destiny, on your dream, whatever that is, it can, when I say isolating, it just means that you become laser focused about what you need mm-hmm. to do, and you're not willing to compromise those things, let your hopes and dreams and aspirations go, or your peace of mind, or your new way of living life go, just because somebody thought something about it and was mad about it. When I say it that way, it sounds ridiculous to me. You know that we would do that, but there are many, many, many people who acquiesce to that because somebody mm-hmm. isn't showing approval, encouraging you and all of that. You just decide, okay, I'd rather keep this friendship or this situation or just live like that rather than like this rather than have my dream manifest or, you know, my future be more prosperous or whatever. People are going to get upset. It's just the way it is.
Yes.
I remember many, many years ago when I first got into professional modeling, and it took off like a rocket. I mean, I was in ads and commercials and fashion shows. It just blew up really fast. And it was shortly after I had graduated from high school. And I had girlfriends. They were my girlfriends all through high school. But I didn't have the same kind of time or involvement with them anymore. And it wasn't that I did something so deliberate. I just didn't. I made a decision about how important this new thing was to me. It blew my mind as well.
Mm.
But one of them said to me, "You think you're so much better than us now."
Yikes.
That thought never crossed my mind. I said, "No, you're wrong. But what I want out of life is better than where I was. So this is where I'm at right now with it. And I'm sorry y'all feel that way. But that's not what I'm thinking. But I'm going on with this." And I lost all those girlfriends, every single one.
Yeah.
Every single one of them. And I felt so broken. I went to the director of a school that I worked for at the time, too. I was teaching personal development in etiquette and modeling. I told her I was broken. I was in tears. And she was the wisest young woman I probably ever met and ever will. to be so young and so wise. But she said to me with a smile on her face, she said, you'll make new friends.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay,
mm-hmm.
I trust that.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly what happened. More and more progressive-minded and moving forward, doing the same thing I was doing, it worked. Now, I don't know how it worked for everybody else, but you got to sometimes trust that you make the right decision setting boundaries, because it will always be happening, like you just said. You'll always be doing something to protect your journey.
Yes, yes. And it's so funny that what you just described kind of goes back to my point that your vibe, because you were doing inner work, you were when we choose to set boundaries and begin to be introspective and really dig into who we are so that our best self merges, we are really elevating our vibration, like literally. That's a whole nother conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But everything emits a vibration. And so mm-hmm. as you raise yourself and raise your vibration, then you begin to attract. So your vibe attracted a new tribe. That's
yeah.
exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And that is what I found that happens or is happening. It happened and it's still happening. And I'm fascinated by it, to be quite honest. But that isolation that you talked about, what happened for me was I didn't call it isolation. For me, it was more solitude. And you know, it's kind of tomato, tomato. But the
mm-hmm.
solitude that I went into, God prepared specific individuals for me during that time. But most people I was not in contact with. It was a select few. And I understand that was by divine design, because first of all,
mm-hmm.
not everybody's going to understand. And like we talked about with boundaries, certainly not everybody's going to appreciate that. And it's a selfish way that people express themselves when they get mad that you are putting up boundaries to take better care of yourself instead of them taking the hint and taking a clue from that and thinking, wow, maybe I should do that. Maybe I should look at how I can increase life for myself or grow myself by setting up some healthy boundaries and doing the work. So, yeah, people tend to take it personally. But we have to, we have to protect our journey.
Well, I, you're absolutely right. And in the title to the show, when I said speak no negativity, you know, it's a broad term that I believe covers all of what we're talking about today.
Mm-hmm.
It may have lent itself to think that we were going to talk about just words. And they certainly can be harmful, and we'll probably talk a little bit about that. But speaking to your life, no negativity. And that's
right.
the umbrella that I really want people to see in the talk that we're having. Speak no negativity. You know, however you have to design it, reshape it, refashion it, clip and cut and snip things off, it's what will happen,
mm-hmm.
happen to all of that negativity that will prevent you from doing what you want to do and being the person that God designed you to be. And
right,
you know, it's so clear. We should be living abundant lives. We should be living lives as conquerors. And it by no means means that we never experience anything once we make these wonderful decisions. It certainly doesn't mean that we live lives free of challenges and problems and difficulties. But you become a whole lot wiser and stronger, more prepared at handling the things in life that come your way. So With that being said, you continue, please.
Ingrid. Yeah. Kind of to piggyback on that, man, we are such powerful beings, so much so that the power of death and life is in our mouth. It's in the words we speak, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just in the words we speak. It's also in the thoughts that we think. But that just goes to show again, just the amount of power, the amount of the impact, rather, that we have and we're able to make in our lives and then also in the lives of others. One of the things that I wanted to mention, too, is the more we speak something, the more permission we give it to exist in our lives. I'm going to say that again. The more we speak something, the more we give it permission to exist in our lives. Because basically what we are doing is we are coming into agreement with whatever the words or the thoughts are. So this works twofold. This works with negative words and thoughts, and it also works with positive words and thoughts, which is where I want to focus. Because in our power, and especially when we are tapping into our spirituality, there is something that we are able to do to change the negativity into positivity. And I don't know what this is called. All I know is God just kind of led me into this. And I'll just use the word, because I can't think of a better one. I'll just use the word transmutation. And that's a big word that basically means changing something from one form or state into another. Okay? So in this instance, taking negative thoughts and words and changing them into positive ones. I don't want to oversimplify this, but I do want to keep it simple. Here's how I do that. So first of all, what I'll share with everyone too is I was reading a few articles, and came across the fact that 80 to 90% of our self-talk is negative. That's a lot. That is a lot.
It is.
So it really behooves us to learn how to take 80 to 90% of what's going on in us and find ways to flip it or transmute or change that, right? So here's what I do. I do it in three steps. And I did pull this directly from the Bible. I want to read this first, and then I'll tell you what this looks like for me. This says, we demolish, which again, Silver, is why it was so just befitting that you use that word in your promo. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So while that does have to do wholeheartedly with our faith and things that come against our faith, I took that because the Lord illuminated that for my thoughts. And the three things that I found in that are this. Number one, capture. Capture the thought. Capture it. Meaning, and I actually see myself like almost like I grab it in my hands and I'm holding it up and I'm looking at it. I am observing this thought. Okay, because first of all, I want to make sure that I'm not getting ready to try to get rid of something that will really challenge me and propel me to the next level. I want to make sure it's legitimate negativity first. So I observe it. I capture it first. If it is legitimate negativity that will not propel me forward, or, you know, it's not growth, then the next thing I do is I challenge it. A lot of the negative self-talk, the negative thoughts that we have are not true. So I challenge it with, what do I know to be true? So I capture it first. I challenge that thought with what I know to be true. And then the third piece is I change it. So that's where in my mind, I intentionally say, I will no longer give this permission to be whatever the negative thought or emotion is. And then I say, I'm changing this. So let me give a real example of this. Because it happened and I didn't even realize it until I was praying about it. And the Lord was like, this is what you did. So I had a friend who perceived or who thought that I had hurt them deeply. They completely misunderstood something that I had said to them, and it caused them to spew, and I mean spew, harsh, vile words at me. I mean, it was deep, deep stuff, and I was so shocked. You know that phrase that we use nowadays? I was shook. I couldn't believe that this person who I thought was close and loved me and I loved, I couldn't believe that they were saying this to me. So what I did was I literally kind of in my mind captured, like, wow, what are all these thoughts and words and things that are coming at me? And this is an example of how I took it externally and did this. Then I challenged it. Is there any truth to what this is? Are any of these words that they're saying about me true? No. I mean, legitimately, none of it. That's not just me in my own head or me coming to my own defense or me thinking the best about myself. No, legitimately, the words were not true. So I changed them. Because what happened was I realized that because the hurt was perceived as valid and true for that person, that they felt like I had betrayed them, I was at that point able to change it to compassion because it wasn't true about me. So I changed it. So those vile mm-hmm. words became compassion. And then I extended compassion back to that person. So that's just a real life. And I call it, I did a, I don't know if it was a video or a blog that I did one time, but I called myself a thought wrangler. Like or a negativity wrangler. I take whatever the negative word or thought is, and it's like I got a lasso, you know, and I'm whipping that lasso around and I capture it. I'm going to capture that word first. Pay attention to it. Then I challenged it,
mm-hmm.
and then I changed it. Mm-hmm. So those are the three steps. Mm-hmm.
It takes work, and most of the shows that I do that have this type of component in teaching, it takes some work. It does, mm-hmm. and the most encouraging thing I can say is that I've said so many times that you do the work. You'll appreciate yourself for it. Other people will appreciate
yes.
you for it as well. You know, I don't know the relationship that you're talking about, but I do know it could have gone way left if you had not been the person that you are with the skill sets that you use to help both of you. That could have gone way
yes.
left. And depending on who a person is dealing with, a spouse or another significant other or your boss or whatever, those things can go way, way bad. And so having the understanding, and I'm saying this to the audience now, of how to handle negativity, and it can be challenging in this sense that you don't know where it's going to come from or who
mm-hmm.
or why.
That's right.
But to have the understanding that you can take pause to give yourself an opportunity to think, to regroup, to walk away, to say nothing until you can get yourself together and make sense of it for making sense sake. These principles really do work for you.
Yes.
Ultimately, what it does for you, it gives you a more balanced and stable, peaceful life. That's the thing to understand about this. It doesn't change the fact that, as I said earlier, that things will happen. People will happen. People will still say stuff and do stuff. It's kind of the perpetual thing about life. We can't get away from it. But,
right.
We can develop tools and skills, actions, behaviors, thought processes that help us handle this thing a whole lot more smoothly. That's the greatest benefit. That's the most wonderful reward that comes from the types of shows that I bring you, the type of work that Ingra is doing with individuals. If you practice them, you will perfect them. If you practice them, you will perfect them. When things happen, what's that saying? It rolls off your back like a duck, or what is? I don't know. What
yeah, like
is.
Water off a duck.
Water off your back, or
duck's back.
You know, you kind of don't even give energy, or not even a long-term thought to a lot of the things that happen. You just handle it differently. Someone could say something to you at work, and you might say good morning, and their words that come out of your mouth do everything but bless the day. And you just kind of, you know, you smile and say, I hope it gets better, and you keep it moving. You know, you learn the things to do, and the skill sets, how to work the principles, use the tools that keep you in your happy space and happy place. It works. It really does work. It gives in, you know, the devil will come to steal and kill your joy at every opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you just got to speak no to that. It's so funny. I have to tell you about the vision I was just having when you were talking about capturing the thought.
Okay.
I immediately saw, like, you go to your head and you snatch this little figure that's trying to tell you something, and you punch the guy like that. You know,
whoa.
You beat it down.
Yes.
Like, no. And you toss it. You know, it sounds funny, but that's what vision came to me. I thought, you know what? That felt really good. The next time something even remotely negative comes, I'm just going to snatch it and just beat down on it. Like, no, don't you ever say that to me.
Right. Challenge.
You know, you do.
Absolutely.
You do. And the fact that I found joy and humor in that, I think it's a good thing.
Right.
But you do what works.
Yes.
You know, you do what works. But to me, that, you know, when you said about seeing things too, I was like, you know, I have those things happen to me as well. But that's exactly what came to me in one particular area that I know I needed to do a beat down on some negativity. So I'm glad that you expressed that. This is really some good stuff, and I can't believe how time is flying. We've been on for over an hour already, and there are some points that I want to shift. I think people get it, you know, about speaking no negativity, but I think you can work it in with some of these things I want to ask you about what you do, because it all, you know, it all plays in the same theme. You still got to work outside of that negativity. You mentioned some things on your website that I think are so interesting for people and will, you know, encourage them to reach out to you about. Talk to us, since I was just talking about visioning something, talk to us about visioning, you know, your snapshot perspective that you can share with people and what value there is in that. When you're helping them, you know, to reach, you know, points in their lives where they're trying to flesh out things.
Right. It was so funny because as you were talking, I was thinking about the visioning component of Slingshot U. And what I have found during this part of my journey is that our imagination, our ability to see things in our mind's eye is a God-given ability that enables us, or it helps us to tap into who we are spiritually. So what I do with my visioning sessions is I help people to envision, or I activate them spiritually in a sense, to see who is it that God created them to be. Now, this is a process, and I will add, at the end of it, add the whole vision board aspect to it, just so there's a takeaway. But for the most part, I'm helping people to, and this is done through, there's a kind of a quiet meditative prayer portion. I actually guide people through using their imagination to tap into what God is speaking to them directly. Okay? And so that's a key piece, and there has been success with this, and it really kind of shocked me the first time I did it, where I had people to envision, I think it was like a desert or a dry place, which a lot of times when people are wanting some help or assistance moving forward, it's like that. They feel like they're in a dry place, like there's not much productivity, not much happening, not much growth. So I walked them through just seeing the ground cracked and what they heard and what they may have sensed or what have you. And I walked them into a season of downpouring rainfall. And then to hear after we came, because this is literally sitting there with your eyes closed, seeing this. After we came out of that session, to just hear what had been downloaded into people's spirit, the motivation, the encouragement. And the reason why I add the vision board component is because after you experience something like that spiritually, we have gotten so used to having these wonderful experiences and then walking away, and shortly thereafter it dissipates. So being able to combine it with that vision board aspect, you put on this board what it is that God has spoken to you or what you saw, then you are able to go over it over and over again. And soon, yes, you will see things manifest. You most certainly will, because you have gone to the source and you have basically partnered with him in seeing or visioning what he wanted to show you about who you are. Not just this create your best life scenario for yourself and that's what you want to manifest. No, it's about tapping into the original design. Who does God say you are? Who did he create you to be? Because it behooves us to follow that path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you find that some of your clients have a challenge with that due to the things that have been instilled to them about themselves? You know, there's so much of that we do grow up messages that have been, we lived with, I'll say it that way, from negative environments and, you know, lack deep faith and belief in themselves. Do they come to you at that phase, or are the people that you work with a little more have progressed a little bit more in how they do and just really want to go that extra with your help?
So it's been both, actually. And what I will say is my specialties really is for those who are feeling the tug. They're feeling that there's more. So they really are ready. They don't know how to verbalize what's happening, what these feelings are, and certainly don't know what direction to move in with them. But there have been some people who just aren't ready. they're just not ready. And unfortunately, you know, it's good that I know who I've been called to, because then I can have the conversation very early on and just let them know, you know what, I'm sensing that this is just not the best course of action for you just yet. You know, and be able to let them know you, because some people need therapy before they can delve into something like this. Because, like you said, there are things that are huge, that are massive, that they need to deal with first. But for those who have been most successful are those who already feel the awakening. They just don't know exactly what it is. Yeah,
That's really good. I wanted to ask you, and this flows right into that, I know that you are literally helping people discover their purpose, and I want you to reflect on, well, I'm sure you're going to explain it anyway, but just a short story, because I think it can be confusing about purpose and daily life and destiny purpose and life purpose, career purpose, all of that. I remember teaching a Bible study class, and there was a young man who he was having trouble discovering his purpose. He said that, "I always wanted to be a teacher. I went to college and graduated in the area where I wanted to teach. But I'm still having a problem determining, you know, what the will of God is and what I should be doing." And I stood there because, you know, I'm older than he was, and learned quite a bit more about life. And just in a flash, and I'm saying this for a lot of people, in a flash I knew what the issue was. It's tough sometimes when you know what you want to do, and you have done what you need to do to prep yourself for it, but you don't literally see a door open. Because you're a faith-filled person, there's something in some of us, and we talked about this earlier, about it being something, it's so wrong in your thinking, that there should be doors that just fly open because you purpose to do something, and you've hoped and prayed and dreamed about that. Now, not that it can't happen. I can't say that, because I know that that's not a truth. It can. However, you know that you've always, in your heart of hearts, wanted to teach, and that you just spent 4 years of your life preparing in that area. The next steps to take would be to pursue all kinds of opportunities that would be fulfilling to you. That part is work. It is. And that's where I see and think a lot of people may get lost in the process of purposing in life. Sometimes it just does align. All the things just align for some people. I don't know how or why. Well, no, let me back up. Yes, I do. It's because they test themselves into that, as well as following what they knew about what they knew. But I think it's important to realize, don't allow yourself to be lost in between what you just did to prepare and your hope is in your heart and all of that, and then all of that opportunity is on the other side, and all you need to do is start tasking yourself toward it, working your towards. It's kind of like stepping up the Jordan. Then it opens. You have to realize that that's a part of it. It doesn't just always open. You have to put your foot in the water and watch how things begin to come to you then. That part can have a fear element. It can have you may even feel like you won't be accepted or somebody's better for it than you, all kinds of other things, but that's not the point. Everybody that you see that's successful, that you love and admire, they have the same tasking processes. They have the same issues, the same challenges, the same fears, the same everything. there wasn't just some awesome thing that happened in the water party for them to become rich and famous or successful. They're doing what we're talking about in very practical ways. So please keep that in mind, that that's a reality to getting what you want, what you hope for, pray for, vision, dream about.
Yes.
So I said that to ask you, what do you tell people about discovering their purpose? What are your practical steps for that?
So what I do, I have actually there's a visual, well, not a visual, but here's the scenario that I use. And it's the difference between the game of chess and a card game, okay? When you are playing chess, you're looking at the steps ahead, the moves ahead of where you are. That's what you're always focusing on and factoring in. And then you're looking at how do you maneuver your way to get to that outcome, right? Whereas with a card game, you're dealing with what's in your hand right then and how do you make the best move given what's in your hand at that moment. This is how I see purpose. I said at the beginning that I am here, my purpose is to create receptive insight. I am here to open people up, open up their expectation to where it is ultimately God wants to take them, which is why I connect them to God spiritually to seek him for original design. That's big picture, okay? Because I have found, and this has been my personal journey, and that's I'm an expert of my journey, and this is what I teach from. But having that in mind, then every single day, and here's the practical piece, every single day I wake up, I have basically been given a hand of cards. I've been dealt a hand of cards. But because I know what the end, I've seen kind of what the end goal is, which is the big picture purpose, it enables me to make better informed playing card or right now decisions because I'm heading in that direction, if that makes sense. So one of the things, too, that I do to even help people understand kind of along the way, there are clues in our lives. There are clues from our past that help us know what purpose is. There are clues in our passions. There are clues in our frustrations that help us know what our purpose is. There are clues in our lineage that helps us understand what our purpose is. And so I walk people through kind of some of those places to get their wheels turning so that they, because it's a personal journey. I can't tell you what your purpose is. I can lead you on the journey and give you the tools that will help you then begin to go on that journey with God and your spiritual self, especially on your own, but it is really to get you started, and then you go on the journey. Now, one of the things that I do as well, because again, it can be difficult, and like you were saying earlier, it can be isolating, not just with the boundaries, but with this journey of the discovery of purpose, it can be even isolating. And so what I do also is I offer an opportunity to walk alongside someone after they've gone through a visioning session. I can walk alongside them for 6 weeks, continuing to share with them, helping them to dig, reminding them of the tools, and just providing the safe place and environment for that discovery and that exploration to happen. Because one of the things I have seen also is that when we are very much so tied to, and I let me just back up too and say this, I am not a church basher. I really do want to make that clear. I love the church. The church is the bride of Christ. But I have been called to call out some things concerning the church, and this just happens to be my lane. But I do want to make that clear. But some people are in places of religion, I'll just say it that way, where they are not, it's not safe for them to explore spiritually. They are told that's wicked. That's not of God. That's this, that's that. And I'm sorry, I don't believe that a human here is supposed to be the keeper of my journey with God. You're not the gatekeeper of what I do with God. And so a lot of people who are in these religious settings don't have the safe place to explore spiritually. So as I'm walking alongside them, they know, okay, this person's not going to judge me because I'm exploring. Because I will tell you, many people will think whatever they want. That's not my business. But God has given me permission to explore in some very unconventional places, like places that could be called that's darkness or that's new age or that. But what God has said to me very clearly is they have my stuff in there. They're working kingdom of God principles, and they're not even in the kingdom of God, yet the people who are in the kingdom of God are afraid to tap in and are told not to. So I come alongside them after they've done the visioning, and I walk with them to allow them the space and the freedom to explore as fully as they will with God.
I really do very much understand, and I don't know that I would call it darkness so much as it seems to certain individuals outside of the realm of what we're taught biblically, but it really is not.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel. To me, it's the same kind of theory, like when you start with the King James Version of the Bible and you end up with the Message. It breaks down totally differently.
Yes. Two of my favorite translations, by the way.
Exactly. And I think that that's probably the best way to explain what we're talking about here and what you just talked about. It's not that it's contrary or against. It has its own flavor, but it's the same exact word that's being taught to you using thee and thou. You just got to realize that that's what's the case. And I believe that that's where the freedom truly will kick in when you get it in that form, when you understand that it's taking biblical principle and truly breaking it down into really bite-sized pieces that you can really understand and really work into your daily existence in everything.
Uh-huh.
In every, and so, you know, that is certainly what I hope we've been able to get across today. We're down to like 20 minutes, and I do not want to get to the point where I don't get an opportunity for you to share with people how to reach you and about the book and those things. So I'm going to shift right now, and if we have
okay.
a few more minutes left, we'll talk about a couple of other things, but. I want you to talk about your book that you've co-authored. Talk about what that's about and let people know where to go for that. I do have your website information, but I want you to mention it. And I want
okay.
you to just share from your heart, even though you've said so much, you know, what it means to you to have this purpose and mission and wanting to help someone who may want to reach out to you.
Okay, great. So I will, I'll start with the book. I'll start there. So I co-authored a book with two other very special and powerful and also world-impacting women, and it's called Kingdom Daughters Emerge, and it is kind of the beginning of all of a lot of what you heard me talk about already, just this emergence out of the religious status quo into freedom and liberation in Christ and in the kingdom of God, based on who God created us to be. These are three women who are, there's different ages. So actually two of us are close in age, in our 50s, or one just came out of her 40s, and then one in her 70s even. And so it's very interesting to see how God awakened each of us with our own separate journeys, separate walks with him, but he awakened us in the midst of us just doing life, right? And so the encouragement of this book is sometimes when we hear someone's story, sometimes you can have a tendency to want to mirror in a way. Well, if that's the process that worked for that person, then let me try that same process. Well, what we want to do instead is to take more of a, I like the analogy of the model home. When you walk into a model home, or when I walk into a model home, I just want to be inspired by what's there. It's not that I want to go and mimic every single room down to the curtains and lamps and rugs and furniture. No, I just want to be inspired. So we just want for people to be inspired to have their own emergence experience with the Lord and begin to walk that out. So again, it's still kind of with this creating the receptive insight, helping people to just be open to the fact that there is more. Some people don't realize that there is more than just work, church, home. You know, there's much more than that. So that's the book, Kingdom Daughters Emerge. It's available on Amazon.com. You can just type in Kingdom Daughters Emerge and find that. Then my company, Slingshot U, and that's Slingshot with the letter U, .com. You can find me there. You can scroll all the way to you can look, of course, peruse the site, see just kind of what I have to offer. And then scrolling all the way down to the bottom, you can send me an email. You can reach out to me. And then also on the About page, you'll find my email address. But I really do want to encourage individuals to reach out to me who you are in this place of feeling like you're stuck. A lot of times it's spiritually, sometimes it's also just naturally, but the two are really tied together. And so I would encourage you to reach out to me and let's just have a discussion. Let's have a discussion and see what direction you're going in and see if it would be a good fit for you to partner, or for me, Slingshot, you to partner with you along your journey to kind of point you in a direction, give you the tools, and then you just kind of, you know, slingshot from there. One of the tagline is prepare to propel, because sometimes people feel like their life is in a frustrated or stagnant place, but they're really in a slingshot. We're going to use our imagination right now. So if you can imagine seeing a slingshot and seeing it pulled back right before you let it go to propel that rock or whatever is in it, it's tight and it's still, right? Sometimes our lives feel like that, super tight, really intense, and feels like there's nothing happening. Well, it's because you're being prepared to propel. But if you don't know that, then you get tired out. You get vexed in the frustration of it, and many people give up. My goal is to help you realize what's actually happening so that you experience that propelling forward, because the world needs you. There is need of you. And in my world, where I am, the spirit world, it is ultimately so that you do live in abundance, but ultimately so God will be glorified. That is why we are here ultimately. And that is what what I share.
Mhm. Mhm. Did that fit in some place where I remember reading, and I loved that you said something like breaking up with your comfort zone. Does that Does that play into what you just described?
Yes, it most certainly does. It most certainly does. Yeah, yeah. And I am actually in the process of working on some content. There will be some online trainings that will come as a result of this. I am learning the technical piece of how to put all this together, because there's so much content that I've written that's in me, because I've lived a lot of it, and a lot of it's been divinely downloaded to me. But yes, so that's coming as well. But yes, that place of the comfort zone, it's time for many to break up with it.
I think that's excellent. I think it just says everything to, you know, it needs to help a person understand. If you're stuck, it's going to mean you got to break up. You got to break up with that situation. And all of us understand what breaking up means. Well, I'll tell you, this has been a powerful conversation with you, and I could go on talking to you, to be very honest, because there's so much ground that we can cover when it comes to everything you've talked about, and particularly overcoming negativity. But I think the essentials God said, they got out there, they got the foundation God laid for that, and I do hope that there will be people who will reach out to you to have the personalized journey of learning more about how to overcome negativity and to truly become an overcomer in life and more than a conqueror. So thank you for sharing yourself with us today and your expertise. I think it's been very educational and enlightening. I appreciate you so much, sis.
Well, it has indeed been my pleasure. I thank you for sharing your platform and sharing your audience with me. And I do just want to give this last thing, because something it just keeps resonating with me.
I was about to
for
ask.
All of your listeners. See, we're on the same wavelength. This one piece that I said earlier, and that is the more you give your permission to something, specifically these negative thoughts or words or even the relationship, but the more you give it permission to exist, just be aware of that. The more you give it permission, I mean, the more you give, the more you give to it, the more you speak it, the more you give it permission to exist in your life. So if you don't want things to exist in your life, think about what you're giving your permission to. Yeah, that would
That's
be it.
Wonderful. Grab that thought and beat it down.
Right. Wrangle it on.
Thank you so much, Ingra. I appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you again real soon. I will reach out to you very soon.
All right. Thank you so much. And bless you, Silver. I appreciate you, darling.
Oh, as much as well. Thank you so much. Talk to you later.
Okay.
And I
bye.
Want to thank all of you as well. Bye-bye. For hanging in there with us. You know, all of this information is something that's designed to take you to a whole other level of life and living and in being. So I hope you had your pen and pencil handy, and I hope you absorbed whatever you needed to like a sponge, because this was really, really, really good stuff. I want to remind you before I let you go of Ingra's website. It's Slingshot, Slingshot U, SlingShotU, letter U, .com, and you will find everything you need to know about her there and about her programs and how she can help you. So take a look and take advantage. I also want to tell you about my books. I have two books out. I've been reminding you at the end of every show on Amazon, Stay in the Ring and What is Safe. And if you go search for them, please make sure you add Silver Ray Fox to those titles, because they're other people using those titles, I discovered, and it's funny because I Googled all of this before I started, and I didn't see not one person that had those titles come up in our gazillion answers that Google will give you. But, you know, stuff happens, and there's even somebody else trying to call herself Silver Ray, so, you know, stuff happens. It's one of those things, like I said to you earlier about negativity. You know what? There's one and only me, can't be duplicated, so I'm good with that. Me and God are good with that. So take a look for those. I also have an 18-minute motivational audio with Stan the Ring. You can go to silverrayfox.com, and it's right on that front page. And if you're going from your phone, I discovered that you'll have to hit view web, the web view in order to see it. It doesn't pop up if you just use your phone. If you're on your laptop, you'll see it immediately. But otherwise, if you're on your phone, you have to click web view. Let's see, what else? Oh, my blog, that is faithishowwelive.blogspot.com. faithishowwelive.blogspot.com. Just offering tidbits of daily inspiration to you. We all need it. You know, sometimes just a word being said, a sentence being said can just flip the script on your entire day and sometimes on your entire life. So I hope you'll check that out as well. Again, I thank you for staying with us, and I hope to see you or hear you or be with you again next week when I bring on my next special guest. In the meantime, I want you to have a wonderful day. Be good. Be blessed. Say no to negativity and be awesome. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.